Welcome back. South Africa's health and insurance group, Discovery, has made a return to pre-pandemic levels, reporting a 74% jump in headline earnings, a historic rise in normalized headline earnings, and a 5% increase in revenue. The group has attributed the positive results to an operating performance from its established businesses and easing of COVID-19. Group Chief Executive Adrian Gore joins us now to take a closer look at the details. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
All right, Adrian. So coming off the base of COVID-19, the group worked through a very complex macroeconomic environment. Headline earnings up 74%. I take it that you are pleased with this performance.
Yes, I think we are very pleased. I think it's been an exceptionally strong year. It's been a year of building. It's been a year of really navigating hopefully the end of COVID. We built some amazing stuff like Discovery Bank that's really coming on stream and Fire Health. So it's been a year of both great performance by existing businesses, but really strong platforms for growth. So I think we are pleased.
All right. And Adrian, I want to speak a little bit more about the prior years, 2020 and 2021. These were peak COVID years. And at this time, Discovery was on an audacious plan, I would say, on building new initiatives when many businesses were cutting back. Let's talk a little bit more about the optimism during this time.
Well, listen, I think it's, you know, we've always taken the view that you should build in difficult times, and for sure that works. I have to say, a pandemic when you're a life and health insurer is not something that is an easy thing to navigate, so there's no hubris whatsoever. But listen, I think that the fears about COVID around lapse rates, around a whole lot of factors didn't materialize. What did materialize tragically was considerable amounts of death, you know, and us in the industry, especially in South Africa, felt that both financially and from a real personal tragedy perspective. So these were difficult times, but we've kept our head down building the stuff that we set out to build. The big single role has been Discovery Bank in the South African market. And I think from the last number of years, even through COVID, it's been a tremendous rollout. So it really has been it's a fantastically exciting project, I have to say. The biggest thing we've ever done.
Yes.
So, you know, despite the tragedy of COVID, we're emerging in a strong place.
Now, Adrian, a key highlight of the set of numbers has been how the group has benefited from the shared value model. Take us through exactly what this model has done to anchor the business and to really help the business through these tough economic times.
Well, it's a great point you raise. I mean, the shared value vitality model is the idea of incentivizing people to behave better, make better lifestyle choices, and sharing the value of those choices with them. The effect has been profound. You know, so we've seen in the face of COVID, people who were engaging and being physically active and doing those kinds of activities were much safer from the risks of death. We saw our policies were much stickier, in other words, they never left us. We saw all kinds of correlations across the world around low rates of mortality, making the book more sticky. So through a pandemic, creating that stability has been remarkable. We even saw weather claims during the flooding now and the long rainy season being downsloping with vitality engagement. It's kind of bizarre, you know what I mean? But the correlations are strong. When people manage health or manage things well, they do that with everything. So it's kind of had predictable causality, but at the same time, it's done things that are unexpected. It's been remarkable.
And Adrian, I'd like us to speak a little bit more about the Discovery Bank. And I know you're excited about it, so am I. I'm a client, and I'd like to just find out. So we do know that the bank hasn't broken even yet. And we did say that, well, I think earlier this year, there were comments that we were waiting for about 700,000 clients or 2024. Or is it a matter of the earlier of the two?
Well, it's a matter of just scale and quality. And in the process, you've seen, we've kind of close to 800 to 1,000 new clients a day. Mm-hmm. We crossed the 1 million accounts, I think, a month ago, thereabout. The growth is staggering. I think we showed this morning the quality of the client base, you know, in terms of usage, in terms of correlations. Everything has been remarkable. So I think we're on track to get to the break even in 24. And I've tried this morning to show just the scale of value being created, you know, beside the break even. If we continue to grow going forward, I think, you know, the return on capital, the scale will be tremendous. But it is, as I was saying, I mean, I hope I'm being appropriate, it's a fantastically beautiful bank. It's mm-hmm. great to use, you know, the functionality. So it's just a story as we roll out, and a lot of additional stuff is rolling out, you know, every few months. So this is something I think we're in a very exciting phase of.
I think a very important thing about a bank like Discovery would also be trying to get people to sort of divorce their primary banks and to move over to Discovery and make that their primary bank. How's that going, and what sort of marketing strategy are you going with to see this happening? It's worked with me, by the way.
That's great to hear. But listen, you're spot on the key issue. You know, new banks come along, and the most difficult thing, and banks are sticky, the most difficult thing to do is to actually move your primary account into a new bank. We see now at Discovery Bank, new clients, of the clients we brought across, fully 74% are either very active or primary bank account holders. So we're kind of breaking that link, I think, quite successfully. How we're doing it is we haven't chosen, frankly, a niche. We said this is a full services bank. You know what I mean? It's not one small, tiny account. It offers you everything. And there's functionality we keep rolling out. I think what we try to show this morning is, given our kind of strength in health and life insurance and motor insurance, all of those products are going to sit on the face of the bank. And so your ability to control your financial world is going to be on this one beautiful app. So, you know, we are kind of moving in a place where I think we're playing to our strengths.
I can actually tell when you speak about it that you're very excited about the bank. I want to speak now a little bit more about exiting the UK market, at least where Vitality Invest is concerned. You did say that it's a rather complex market right now. Can you just take us into confidence about what you mean by that? And also, it does sound like the business performed well. So it isn't a matter of performance. Is it a matter of modeling and looking ahead and deciding that this is not the right direction to go?
Well, listen, Vitality, the UK has been great for us. So the performance of our life and health business has been tremendous. Vitality Invest had, as you say, a good period. It's attracted 15 billion of assets quite quickly. Receptivity has been good. But the reality is, as margins and fees have compressed, which is, you know, it's a good thing for a competitive market, our view is to get that business to scale will take 50 million pounds of capital, a long time of investment. And given things like the bank and other opportunities, our calculation was, it wasn't adding tremendously to the composite. It was a great business, but it just didn't require that kind of investment. So we took a hard call. I mean, it is a hard call, but I'm convinced it's the right call.
All right, moving now to the insurance business. Losses made were really beyond management's control. We had the KZN floods, which is really evidence of climate change, also increase in vehicle parts claims, as well as load shedding. Now, these all seem like stuff that you can't control as management. So how are you hedging yourselves in future against such events?
Well, I think it was a tough year, as you've said. I'm not, I mean, the reality is you can't control it, but management has to figure out how to deal with it. And we've acted quickly. So we're on top of the data and quite quickly towards the halfway point in the year. So that's like December. We already picked up these inflationary issues. So we've repriced parts of the book. We've done a lot of structures and a lot of work on a variety of issues. And already, I think we've got back most of the margin we think. That we need. So we will see in the next few months as it rolls out, but I think we've kind of recovered some of that margin. We'll see how it plays out. But these are complicated times, as you know. This kind of this supply side inflation, the deglobalization, all of this stuff. Somehow, you know, you see something happening in one market and then suddenly it's on your doorstep in some other profound way. But you know, that's what we are required to do. We've got to figure it out.
Now, you bring it closer to home now. I want to speak a little bit about NHI. Now, we do know that we've had COVID-19. It was a good pressure test, I think, for health insurance and the healthcare sector in South Africa as a whole. Do you think that we now have better information to move in that direction? Or do you think that really the way that the traditional health insurance sector looks is the way that will possibly stay for the foreseeable future?
Look, you point out a good point, and there's a lot of learnings. One of the things we've seen, for example, in the vaccine is public-private partnerships work. You know, they work well. So there's no doubt if we can bring the assets of the private sector and public sector to work together, I'm pretty sure we can do a fantastic job in many ways. I think we have to figure out, I guess the biggest challenge to NHI is just fiscal room. Does a country have the resources? You know, and there I'm concerned. I mean, we've got to deal with the narrative in the country. We're losing doctors, we're losing nurses. We need those people, you know, to make an NHI work. So I think there have been lessons learned, but I think this is a complex, long road we're on. And we need to be constructive and creative to make it work.
All right, Adrian, I wouldn't be able to let you go without really just speaking about that raid by the Competition Commission. They're coming out to say there's reasonable grounds to suspect that there's been some sort of collusive practices. How are you managing this as a business leader internally? It is one of those very hard to come by situations.
Well, I think the first thing to say is that we believe that if regulators have an issue, they must raise them properly. So we have no problem whatsoever. I think this is a country where we need the rule of law. We need any concerns dealt with. So no issue whatsoever. The raid itself is very theatrical, and I mean, I understand it. It ruffled our staff up a bit. I think probably across the entire industry, but it is what it is. You know, our hearts go out to them in some way, but it is what it is. We will cooperate fully. Discovery is a fierce competitor. We do not collude. So, you know, whatever information they need, we will provide.
And before I let you go, you've always been one of those business leaders that was rather optimistic about South Africa. Now, it's in spite of low growth, a strained middle class, low confidence. Are you still seeing an investment case for this market? And do you think South Africa will be able to bounce back and return to its glory days?
Listen, I think that I need to say that the economy and the market is big. Mm. It's bigger than people think. I mean, we work around the world, so there's no... You know, I hope I'm not being parochial. It's a big market. The proof is the bank. Mm. The bank has now got 500,000 clients. I don't believe our competitors have felt us yet. Mm. Gives you a sense of scale of how big the market is. I say it with humility. We've got great competitors in the banking space. Mm-hmm. So anyone who thinks this market is small and unsophisticated is just wrong. Mm. The other point to make is that, you know, we have to build. And my big issue is not one of optimism. My big issue is I'm convinced the narrative is dramatically worse than the reality.
Sure.
And that gap between narrative and reality is what causes bad actions. You know, so I think we as business leaders have to get people to realize what we have here. It's got all kinds of problems and challenges and poverty and inequality and real tragedy. But I promise you, it's fixable with the right attitudes. And I think we've got to take a constructive activist role to building. You know, we've seen this with our pothole initiative. It's been one of the most remarkable things. It's a public-private initiative, you know, with the city. We filled 112,000 potholes. It's incredible. Mm. Just tells you what, you know, private sector with government can do. So there's no doubt we can do it, but we can't do it with negative narrative. Mm. We've got to change that.
All right. Thank you, Adrian. It's always a pleasure speaking to you and just hearing what's going on in Discovery, but also in that mind of yours. Thank you so much. That was Adrian Gore, CEO of Discovery Group.